Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Hello and welcome into another edition of Believe in Titans on the Believe Podcast Network. I am Davey Hudson alongside former Titan Denard Walker, and we appreciate you joining us here today as we get set to talk the 2021 NFL Draft. I know the last couple of episodes we have been diving into what the Titans are likely to do. We'll touch on that some today, but I mean, everyone's kind of getting ready for just round one in general, and we thought we would keep this episode to be some more of the bigger storylines that are surrounding the NFL draft, and we'll get into all that. But before we get started, I want to ask, do you believe? And Believe in Titans is presented by BetOnline. BetOnline, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website betonline.ag or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. And Denard, I was looking at BetOnline right before we recorded, and I have some questions. I'm just kind of curious to get your thoughts. There's no right or wrong answer, but to go to the NFL draft section of BetOnline. I just find these conversations really intriguing because, I mean, you're an SEC guy. I'm an SEC guy. How many SEC players do you think will be selected in the first round?
I'm going to go, 32 players in round one. I'm going to go with 12.
12 and a half is where they set the number. So you're kind of, you're right there.
Wow.
The money, minus 200 on under 12 and a half players. So that's kind of where the public is at as well. So that's a, it's a good response by you. And the last one I had on this, but again, you can check out all these lines on BetOnline, but it has to do with our Tennessee Titans. And the question is, will Tennessee draft with their first pick whenever this comes, whenever the Tennessee Titans are on the clock first, will their first pick be a defensive player or an offensive player?
Defensive player.
Odds are saying defense. Minus 175 for defense, plus 135 for offense. And D, that will transition me into our next part of the show as we get going. I have pretty much come to the conclusion that I want the Titans to draft a cornerback or a wide receiver in the first round. Just looking at who should be available by the time the Titans get there, I am leaning towards that being the selection. Again, whenever you're in the 20s, kind of anything goes. A lot of times we're able to kind of get to the first five picks and have a pretty good idea at this point as far as who is going to be selected. Trevor Lawrence, the presumptive number one overall pick to the Jacksonville Jaguars. Number two, Zach Wilson going to the New York Football Jets. And then we have the San Francisco 49ers picking third after that big trade with the Dolphins, and the Dolphins moved around some more. But it looks as though, D, your boy Mac Jones, he's going number three.
That's right.
That's where we're at.
He might go number two. That's just right now speculation. No, I disagree with you. If I had,
we know where you stand.
I know. Thank you. I know.
We know where you stand.
I'm not going to rub it in. So let's. I don't want you between you and Phil. I just really want to rub it in on you two. But I'm not going to go into it because we know Thursday what's going to happen. And Mac Jones, who Mac Jones will be in that conversation about the Jets. Would make a great. I would love the Jets if they make Mac Jones the second pick of this year's draft.
You not feeling the Zach Wilson love?
No, I'm not.
And, okay.
First of all, I'm really disappointed in you because
in me.
I'm at this moment. I do not believe. You didn't ask me how I was doing today, and usually every show you always ask me, D, how you doing?
You know, you got a fair point. I just kind of dove in, man. Like I told you,
I know.
It's one of those shows where I just...
You're ready.
I'm ready for the NFL draft, and so I overlooked that.
That's okay.
I will throw that question to you now, even though it might seem hollow. But D, how are you doing?
Well, you know what? I'm actually doing really good today because my LSU Tigers just signed arguably the greatest coach, I don't care, men or women's, other than Gino Auriemma. And the late Pat Summitt, who's, you know that name quite well. That's arguably one of the greatest names in sports. Kim Mulkey, if you are listeners, you don't know that name. That's probably right now one of the best women's basketball coach in the world. She's that good. Basically led a Baylor program to three national titles and a long-time assistant at Louisiana Tech for 15 years. And she's going back home to South Louisiana. And right now, LSU is on fire. So I want to say congratulations to the Lady Tigers and to that university for making a huge hire.
So, it is a big hire. But Denard, if I had known you were going to take the conversation to basketball, I just never would have asked you how you were doing.
I know. And then I also want to say congratulations to, and I bet you don't know this name. I love just getting you. I love your face when you're just like look puzzled. But Marissa Mowry, I want to say congratulations to her. God, I'm just so excited for her right now. And I'm looking at your face and I love it. You don't have a clue who that is, do you?
I'm just going to sit here in silence.
Marissa Mowry just married Trevor Lawrence.
Wow.
You don't think she's happy right now.
Congrats to her. She's about to have a very big payday.
Jeez. Hey, if I was her right now, man, I would be really excited.
He's got a lot coming. So,
oh, man,
that's a good transition point because we're obviously, when we look at the first overall pick, we've kind of discussed it over time, like, we've kind of presumed that Trevor Lawrence is going to be this guy. So now the Jacksonville Jaguars are going to be getting a guy that the Titans are going to have to see twice a year. And obviously they're getting a new coach as well in Urban Meyer, who I'm very interested to see how that plays out. I think I've made my opinion well known about Urban. I think he's a good coach, but when the going gets tough, he fakes an injury and gets out of the profession. So we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens whenever he has the full 17-game slate of the NFL. And he doesn't have a team full of perennial all-stars. So, but if you are Jacksonville, I mean, you got several options. Obviously, you got the first overall pick, but I mean, then they're on the clock again, the 25th pick via the Rams. So,
nope. But you know what, and I don't mean to cut you off, D.
Go for it, buddy.
And so, what I want to tell our listeners right now, and everybody's speculating this for Thursday, is Trevor Lawrence is going to be the first pick in this year's draft. Now, let me just say this as a former player and a guy that's been, you know, I know about that business inside and out. You can be a quarterback, right? And you can be taken first. But if you don't build around him, you're in trouble. And so one thing about Coach Myers is he is, when I truly believe he is a great coach. And the first thing that he's going to do in that first round is it's not so much of Trevor Lawrence that's going to make a difference in that organization. You know who's going to make really a huge difference as opposed to which way that organization goes? You know, and I'm going to throw this out there. It's going to be that 25th pick in the first round. And they're going to go after, at least in my opinion, they're going to go after an offensive tackle. And a name that's been swirling around there, you know this name is Christian Barnmore. That might be the X factor for this football team. Because if you don't have nobody to protect the quarterback, go ask Joe Burrow in Cincinnati. We love him to death. But you know who Cincinnati's getting ready to draft? Big man out of Oregon, Penei Sewell. You know, everybody knows that you got to have somebody to protect them. So that 25th pick in the first round for Jacksonville, that might be the difference that put this team in the playoffs somewhere down the line, you know, year two or three. So look at that pick in the 25th. So anybody out there, look at that 25th pick.
It's an interesting pick. I actually, as I've been kind of going through just some random mocks and seeing kind of where I'm expecting guys to fall, I mean, I've seen a lot of different options. And right now, I don't think the Jags are set whenever you're looking at their tackle situation. I mean, their offensive line has not been good. And it's a team, really, though, if you look at it, we know they're going quarterback first, but there's really no position that's off limits for that team. They need to just really have a reset across the board. And anything in every position is open for a battle for that team right now. So again, we kind of talk about when you're looking at the AFC South, what are they going to do? And I'm kind of with you, D. I mean, I've told you before, my three most important positions whenever it comes to football, you got quarterback number one, your offensive tackle, or an edge rusher is two or three, depending on how you want to look at it. I mean, have a guy to protect the blind side and then have a guy get to the quarterback. I mean, it all kind of stems around what you can do with that quarterback position, whether you're protecting him or you're trying to tackle him. So I do expect the Jacks to probably fall somewhere and going for a tackle if there's a good one that slid to him at that point, or going with an edge rusher, because that's around that same point, several picks after the Titans are slated at 22, to where I think those edge rushers are going to start going off the board. I mean, that's a good thing to kind of be on the lookout for, just as We know this is a Titans show, so we kind of talk about the Titans and the teams that they face multiple times a year. I ain't too concerned about the Texans whenever it comes to the draft, seeing as they don't have any draft capital. They would have a very high pick if they didn't trade it to the Dolphins, but we've chronicled that disaster that was general manager B.O.B., Bill O'Brien, but now the Colts, they're at 21. They're right in front of the Titans, so could they pick a guy that the Titans like really have their eye on? Do you see the Titans or the Colts trading back? A lot of questions, a lot of uncertainty as far as what is going to happen, but again, that's why we love the draft. It's so much intrigue, and you're building for the future. I mean, this is the part, D, you always talk about it, man. You got to have hope, and hope starts with quality players. So can you get those guys to come in? And then, I mean, we look at it, other things go into account. When you look at the Titans last year, man, we made it 1 year, and our first-round pick isn't even on the roster still.
That's right. He's making rap music. Did you listen to his music the other day? I love it.
Yeah. I really wasn't going to bring
it
up.
He had a verse in there about you.
Yeah. I'm sure it was probably talking about the haters or something. But Isaiah Wilson put out, a 30-second clip of his new song that I guess he's trying to have a career in the music industry. It's rough. And I would like to keep that conversation there because I don't have anything nice to say.
Okay.
So if you're fine with it, I want to ask you a football question.
All right.
What are you most intrigued or most excited to see whenever it comes to this year's draft?
Well, I always like to see the first pick. You know, it's just something special that young man can take with him for the rest of his life. And I look at, you know, when Kyler Murray went first overall to Arizona, I mean, it's crazy because I actually watched him in high school. When Baker Mayfield went first to Cleveland, you know, it's amazing because I watched his career when he was at Texas Tech, and I watched him at Lake Travis High School down in out of the Austin area. And so it's just a really fun time because with the draft, it offers hope to an organization that's been down for a long time. And we know that anytime a team picks in the first five, that means that team hasn't been that good. And it was a down year last year. But what that draft pick offers that organization is hope, or there's help is on the way. And now you look up in 2021, and now Cleveland might be the team next year that a lot of people are predicting might represent the AFC and next year's Super Bowl. Isn't that crazy when you think about that? But that's what draft picks offer you every year. They offer an organization hope. And what you hope for is that they pan out. And there's nothing worse than a pick in the first round. And if you look at New York, what happens is if that pick don't pan out or don't play like they're expected to play, what happens is it can set an organization back somewhere 2 or 3 years. You look at New York with Sam Darnold. You know, you go off, you take him very high. Was it 2017 draft, I believe? Okay.
Maybe 18.
18, I'm sorry. 18, 2018. Yeah. What was it? The third pick of the 2018 draft. And then all of a sudden, look, you fast forward it, you know, a few years later. Now you got, you know, your head coach. You got a new head coach because when that draft pick don't pan out, guess what? Usually the head coach is out of the door as well. So it's a lot of pressure, you know, when you draft a young man that high in that first 32 picks of the draft, because they expect those players to come in and be ready right away. That's the difference between, say, first round or a fourth or fifth. When you go first round, you're drafting for needs. You're drafting for needs right now. And usually in the later rounds, you kind of like that young man can be a project. What we're going to do is develop him. And Jacksonville knows that. You know, listen, if we're going to go number one with Trevor Lawrence, we got to go at that 25th pick. We got to find somebody to protect him, because when he comes in here, he might be the starter from day one. And, you know, so, yeah, it's a lot of pressure. But again, that's why you love this game. That's one of the reasons we love to look at the draft, because those are your future Hall of Famers. Those are your future Pro Bowl players. And I love just to see the maturation process a young man takes from, say, year one to year four. I watched Baker Mayfield, and it's like a totally different player when he first came in, you know, and then you looked at this 2020 season, it's just like it was a breakout year. He looked like the same Baker we saw at Oklahoma. And the reason, you know, for that is, again, they got a great coach in there, Kevin Stefanski, who knows how to not only coach quarterbacks, but he knows how to get the very best out of them. So again, this is, you know, if you're Urban Meyer, Robert Saleh out of New York, if you're the 49ers in Kyle Shanahan, or you Atlanta and Arthur Smith, you know, God, you're looking and saying, man, this pick really will determine my future with this organization.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, D, because obviously Arthur now with the Falcons, yeah. Falcons have the fourth overall pick, and we've established that the first three picks are going to be quarterbacks. So really, the Falcons, that's where a lot of the insiders are saying, you know, this is where the draft really starts as far as like what we don't know at this point. And as we're looking at it, like the Atlanta Falcons are getting up there in age whenever you're looking at some of their star players. You look at Matt Ryan, he's on the back end of his contract, or of his, one, his contract, and then on his career. Julio Jones, there's conversations about them trying to trade him, but his contract, great for Julio, not great for a team that's wanting to take it on. And that's so right. Do the Falcons make a move and send Julio somewhere? One, if you're curious if the Titans are going to look that way, the Titans don't have the money to do that. Just again, like I said, that contract is very nice for Julio, not great for a team wanting to take him on. But do they draft Kyle Pitts? Is he the first non-quarterback off the board? Or do you think that, well, if we're moving on from Julio, do we go and we get his replacement? Do they take Ja'Marr Chase?
Well, you have to ask yourself, if you're Arthur Smith, do you believe in Matt Ryan? You know, that's the first conversation that you have to have right now. Do I still believe that he's the player that can take us where we eventually want to go? And that's to a Super Bowl. Do I believe in him? Or do I believe that his value has diminished over time? You know, those are questions that every organization, they have to basically take a long look at themselves. And it's hard. It's hard because Matt Ryan has set the tone for that organization for a long time. He's been the face of that franchise, you know, on and off the field. I mean, he does a lot in the community in Atlanta. And the thing about it, you have to ask yourself, when he signed as a head coach, this is my time. This is my team. You know, this is my team now. I am the head coach. And do you say, listen, there's a Mac Jones or Zach Wilson or Justin Fields, you know, some young man who's 21, 22 years old now that I could deal with? Do I want Matt Ryan? Or do I want a versatile quarterback like a Ryan Tannehill? Do I want somebody that can run? Do I want somebody that can literally, you know, he can be identical to Ryan Tannehill because he understands what he wants in his offense? Well, you think that that's a possibility?
The name I'm hearing, if the Falcons were to go quarterback, was a guy that you did not mention, and that is Trey Lance out of North Dakota State. They've been fielding calls as far as trading back just to see what the possible currency they could get there. But again, that's a situation to where it's like, does anyone feel confident enough to trade up to the fourth spot knowing if they're looking for a quarterback, the top three options are likely already off the board? So will the Falcons get enough return on their investment if they were to move back? Or if they do, like, we'll say, Justin Fields or Trey Lance, who are the two quarterbacks expected to still be available, come pick four. I mean, do you think you could move back and then get them a little bit later on? There's just no one really has much of an idea as far as what or how things are going to unfold. And so it's just making it difficult to really kind of pinpoint how things are going to end up falling at the end of the day.
That's why there's 259 picks. Yeah. You know, it's just, you know, it's like this. It's kind of a hit or miss. And the way I see it, you know, I go back into the olden days, and when the Titans, which is the inception of the Titans organization, this is when they became the Tennessee Titans. They transitioned over from the Tennessee Oilers. You go back to that draft, 1997, when they were the Tennessee Oilers. They went with Big Kenny. Then they went after Kenny. They went with second pick was Joy Kent out of the University of Tennessee. And then their third pick was a young corner out of LSU named Denard Walker. And then their fourth pick was Scott Sanderson out of Washington State. Now you think about it. Then they also in the fourth round, they end up getting a young man out of Michigan State by the name of Derek Mason. Now, out of the four guys that I just mentioned, there's one that is going to be up for the Hall of Fame. That's Derek Mason, their fourth rounder. And so, again, that's the greatest part of the draft is that out of the 259 guys, sometimes it's the guys that is in the first round. They might not be your gem. I like to call the draft in the later rounds your hidden gem. And that's where we might end up finding that next Tony Romo. We might end up finding somewhere a great player. You think about Dak Prescott. You know, Dallas got him in the third round. And now you talk about the highest paid player in the National Football League. You got a Dak Prescott. So, you know, again, I mean, that's the greatest thing about this game is that there's what? Number one, and there's 200, and then there's 259, mystery relevant. Somewhere between number one and say like in 2000, when New England ends up, they get some young man out of Michigan who didn't put up really huge numbers by the name of Thomas Brady. And then all of a sudden, you fast forward to some 20 years later, and he's considered the GOAT of all time. David, you just don't know. You know, and that's the greatest thing about this draft. It's always somebody that we least expect that ends up having a Hall of Fame career.
No, I'm with you. I'm really interested to see what the Titans do. And again, like John Robinson seems like the type of guy, he's going to take the best available player. The last couple of years, we've not lost as much in free agency as we did this past season. Whenever you look at a lot of the skill players that one or gone off the offensive side of the ball, and then two, the guys you had to cut on defense to kind of make some cap space. But I at least feel good that the wide receiver position is very deep in this draft. Another storyline just to keep an eye on is everyone's wanting picks for next year. They're talking about the amount of talent coming out of college next year that will be in the 2022 NFL draft is one of the best that they've ever seen. And so when you look at that, that might limit whether teams are willing to trade future picks. Again, it's all a gamble, and you're kind of looking at what is going to happen.
Yeah, you know what I'm anticipating, and I'm going to say this, is that I do believe that this 2021 draft, when I really evaluate it and I look at it from a Titans, from watching this team and being able to study this team inside and out, and they need a pass rusher now. Okay. We kept last year, I don't know how many times we talked about the lack of production and getting to the quarterbacks. We talked last year. We just continued to debate, you know, about, you know, the defensive end position, the lack of pass rush. We kept the lack of quarterback sacks. And so everybody in Nashville has been talking about that. Everybody, every writer in the league has been talking about that. So just like in 1997, when I talked about we end up getting Kenny Holmes out of the University of Miami, I'm anticipating at that 22nd pick, they have to address a need right now, and that's the lack of a pass rush. Now, you go out and you do get Bud Dupree in free agency. You address that. Of course, you drafted Larrell Murchison last year in the fifth round. Didn't play a lot, but we got a lot of productivity out of Derek Roberson and Harold Landry. You have to think about building for the future as well. We both agree that we do like Azeezy Ajulari out of Georgia. We like Russo out of Miami. That can be a huge possibility, but you have to get someone in here right now. That's the thing about the first round. The first round is about addressing a need right now. Jacksonville is addressing a need right now in that organization at the quarterback position. They're not sold on the Minshew mania. So they know we got to go out there and get not only a quality first rounder, but we got to get a young man that we can build around. Tennessee needs a defensive end right now that they can build around, like a Javon Curse in 1999. And you got to get somebody in there because that can make the difference between you getting to the Super Bowl or you basically taking an early exit out of the playoffs. So again, that was I don't think that was the X factor last year. Especially in the Baltimore game, I thought the defense played well, but you have to get somebody in there now. I do think when you look at the secondary, of course, you draft Christian Fulton last year in the second round. You went out in free agency and you got the Jackrabbit, Janoris Jenkins, and then you got Kevin Johnson from Cleveland, who last year basically put on a show in his ability to cover AJ. Last year in that game against Cleveland. I mean, basically, they shut down our receivers, Corey and AJ. So, you know, he's not what I call a glorified third down defensive back. He is a quality defensive back that can play and give you some really great minutes. What you have to do now, if you're the Titans organization, is that you have to build on the future. The future in the NFL typically is 4 years. We saw half of the guys in the 2017 draft, like Corey, they're gone now. You know, we talked about that. They didn't resign them. That's the future. You know, can I get somewhere between 4 years, somewhere between 4 to 8, if they're lucky? The way free agency is today, 4 years is the max, and the guy's gone if he can hit it in free agency. So I'm excited, but I do think right now, Ajulari, Russo, Quiddy Pay could be a possibility. He could be there at that 22nd pick. You got to get somebody in there right now that's going to make, he's going to make some noise, and he's going to be disruptive. So I think defensive end, and then somewhere down the line, you think about it in the second round. Again, we're talking about, you know, the big player out of Stanford who we both love. We talked about him last week. Say his name for me. I love when you say that name.
What are you talking, defensive back?
Yeah, defensive back.
Paulson.
Adebo. So the thing about it, what I like about Paulson, if you're talking about even Caleb Farley could fall somewhere into the second round. That's possibility.
That's where I'm at, yeah. Actually, I'm glad you mentioned that. Drew Rosenhaus, his agent, was talking. They don't expect him to go past 20. He is battling some injury concerns. If he didn't have those injury concerns, he was a guy, I think I mentioned this last week or 2 weeks ago, he's a top five player in the draft if he didn't have those injury concerns. But now there's possibility that he falls into the middle of the pack, to the later end of the first round. And if I said it, like if for some reason J.C. Horn or Caleb Farley fall to the Titans at 22, I would want to see them draft those guys. Like that's I'm very confident in those two players at the defensive back position. And if they fall to the Titans at 22, I feel like that would be a steal for the organization, and I would pounce on it.
Yeah, but you know what? It's all about, again, needs. So what you're saying is you're not really sold right now as far as when you look at the defensive backs with Christian Fulton, Chris Jackson, Breon Borders, Janora Jenkins, and Kevin Johnson. I know right now we keep talking about, you know, having that number one corner come in like a Deion Sanders. But again, when you are rookie in the NFL, you're going to take some growing pains. That's just the way that the nature of the business works. Oh, so if you don't, and I say this all the time, I don't care how good you are at a defensive back. If you don't have no edge rushers, guess what? That allows a quarterback to sit back there all day long. And we like to call it, baking a cake. And if a quarterback is able to bake a cake on a defense, that's not good for a secondary. So one of the needs that you need to address, we saw Tampa Bay last year, in that Super Bowl. They basically play what I call a conservative zone type of coverage and going against Mahomes in that offense. What they did was, but you saw their edge rushers, you know, Pierre Paul, we saw their interior line, you know, like Sue was able to generate a lot of pressure in that game. That's what you need. That really was the difference between Tampa Bay winning that game against Kansas City. And then in the back half, what you do is allow your, like Devin White and those guys just to drop in a zone. They played really Todd Bowles. He did a masterful plan, because what he was able to do is he basically played the game with about six defensive backs, like a dime coverage. And basically they just play zone in the back and let Kansas City come right into the zone and just tackle it. So let Patrick Mahomes have 300 or 400 yards passing, but you only had 9 points in the game. That's how you win. You win with your interior players. That's your defensive line. And that's what you have to address if you're Tennessee. That's what's going to put us over the hump right now, is getting a disruptive defensive end.
I hear you, D, and I will combat your point. And I agree at some point they need to go edge. But based off of how free agency ended up going for the Titans, when we were having this conversation earlier before free agency started, one, we didn't know that the team was going to release both Malcolm Butler and Adoree Jackson. And we didn't know that they were going to go out and spend big money for Bud Dupree. So after getting Bud Dupree, I think to play opposite Harold Landry, obviously if one of them go down, that could spell some problems for the team. But right now, you've invested long-term in Bud Dupree. You don't have a long-term investment at the cornerback position. And that is why I think I would possibly lean going with a cornerback over an edge rusher in this draft in the first round. Now, granted, I mean, there's a lot that can shake up, and I think if you have a player on your board that you just view as so much better, you take them over maybe what your position of need might be at the biggest. But again, like there's just all these factors we have to take into account, and that's where you're going to have J-Rob be confident in his decision at the end of the day.
That's why nothing we say is going to happen, you know, because again, when you're talking about the first three rounds, that's really where you're addressing your needs. Last year, they talked in the Tennessee, we talked about secondary. They went out there, they addressed it in the second round with Christian Fulton. That's really these first three. And you got to think about it. The Titans in the first five rounds, they get six picks. So they get two in the third round. So somewhere between that second and third, you could have players like Greg Newsome, who many of us were thinking they're going to go off the boards early. That might not be the case. There's all the one thing about the draft is a lot like the league. Expect the unexpected. So somewhere in that second round or that third round, we might have Odibe from Stanford, or you might have a Greg Newsome the second there. That could be a possibility, you know.
I would like to see Asante Samuel.
Asante Samuel could be there at that number two. And then, and when you think about it, like I was made reference to Richard Sherman. You think about the Legion of Boom. They go out there years ago, and they were able to draft a young man who was converted. He was a play receiver the first 3 years at Stanford, and they converted him over to cornerback. And I feel like he's had a Hall of Fame career, Mr. Richard Sherman, by the way, but you get him in the fourth round. And so that's what I keep telling people all the time is that don't look so much at the first one and two. Look at round three, like the 75th pick years ago for the Seattle Seahawks by the name of Russell Wilson. You're going out and you're getting quality players. Think about where Brett Favre, you know, he was a second round pick for Atlanta and then gets traded to Green Bay. That can be a possibility. You just don't know. And you can go out and you can draft a guy. I use Tony Mandred as an example, you know, in that 1989 draft. You think about it. The first five picks, Tony Mandred was second, but the four guys that went in the 1989 draft, you had Troy Aikman that went first, was a Hall of Famer. I think Dion was a Hall of Famer. Tony Mandred was a second pick. He never panned out, you know, really never played a game in the National Football League. He played roughly 1 year in 1990, but he just didn't, it just didn't work out. That happens all the time. But somewhere down the line, you might get that hidden gem. I told you, hidden gems are in the later part of the draft. You talk about Stephon Diggs. He was a fifth round draft pick, you know, years ago for Minnesota. Then you talk about Antonio Brown. He was a sixth round pick. You know, we talk about that all the time. That's where your gems come. Remember, Davey, it's not so much of the first two that you go out and get. Really, what's going to determine, if you look at this Titans teams last year, we had a lot of players, think about it, that was not even drafted, that really was the X factor of this team really, you know, moving on and being able to get in, you know, play well into the playoffs. We saw Cam Batson, who was an undrafted free agent. We saw Nick Westbrook Ikhine out of Indiana, an undrafted free agent. And now they got Nick Westbrook Ikhine. They're thinking he's going to be a starter next year. So that's just the way it works in this business. It's just, you know, you never know. You never know. Even you said they was very high on Ikhine. They got him penciled in.
Oh, I know they're very high on Ikhine. I'm not saying it won't work out as far as him being a big-time player, but I need to have some more reassurance as far as like, well, just think, I mean, even if he is starting and he goes down, like they need a lot of help at the wide receiver position. And but D, I know we're up against it. For those who are curious, we will be doing a show immediately following the first round. I should have led off with this, but the NFL first round or the first round of the NFL draft, Thursday, April 29th, 8 p.m. If you're curious where to watch that, ABC, ESPN, the NFL Network. You can stream it on the NFL app, the ESPN app. D, before we get out of here, man, I know there are a lot of things that could possibly happen, but since we will be meeting again before the second round starts, I need three names that the Titans are going to take with the first pick that they have.
What? You're going to put me on the spot?
I'm putting you on the spot. We've talked over them. We'll find out. We'll find out. Let's see. I'll go first if you'd like.
Yeah, you can go first because I don't even know.
All right. Let's see here. First off the list, give me Elijah Moore, wide receiver, Ole Miss. He's been moving up the draft boards. Second, Greg Newsome. I think he'll still be there. Defensive back out of Northwestern. And then my third, we've been high on him. I think he might still be there. Give me Azeez Ojulari, edge rusher out of Georgia. Those are my three.
You really want to put me on the spot like that. I'm going to go.
I didn't tell you about this because I wanted to put you on the spot.
Yeah, you know what? I'm going to go Ojulari in the first round or Russo. I think they both would be there at that 22nd pick. I wouldn't be surprised if Quiddy Pay is there at that 22nd. That just depends on what they're looking for. Yeah. But if I had to choose over Quiddy Pay, Ojulari, or Russo, I'm going Ojulari. I think he's the best player out of those, you know, speaking of those three guys.
Okay.
And the sec, I feel like.
You don't have to give me your second picks now, man.
Good. Well, I'll
keep I just wanted the first one. We'll meet beforehand. So I'd like,
okay, good.
You're like, oh,
I'm
man,
going
like
with.
A,
I'm going
you,
with
what do you think I was going to make you do? Have to do like a full 7-round mock just then?
No, I was going to make up something. No, but I'm sold. I'm sold on Ojulari. He's my guy.
Okay. Well, you heard it here. But that is going to do it for us today, Denard. Thank you as always, my friend. We'll be here immediately following the draft. I'll get that podcast posted. When I said the draft, immediately following the first round of the draft on Thursday night. But stay tuned for more. You have been listening to Believe in Titans, presented by Bet Online on the Believe Podcast Network. And as always, tighten up.
Thank you for tuning in to another edition of Believe in Titans on the Believe Podcast Network. If you enjoy the show, please subscribe and rate us on iTunes. We are available on all your favorite directories, iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, Luminary, and TuneIn. And you can follow along to keep up with all the latest Titans information on Twitter at Believe Titans. That's BLEAVTITANS. And hey, if you're interested in advertising on the show, please contact Believe at Believe.com.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.